So sin is serious. Grace is serious. So as I was studying about the cross this week and just reading about everything Jesus had to go through, something that kept sticking out in my mind was sin serious? The cross tells us that sin is no joke. It is because of our sin, because of the world's sin, that Jesus had to go to the cross. And what happens sometimes is we take sin lightly in our culture. So today I want us to both feel that sin is serious and that grace is serious. So I don't want you to come out of here today and just feel, sin is serious, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But I want you to feel that sin is serious and grace is serious, because what happened is sometimes we think sin is a light thing, but when you look at the cross, you say, sin's not a light thing. And then sometimes we think grace is a light thing. But you look at the cross and you say, grace is not a light thing. There are a few things that I'm reminded of every day. One is that I'm a sinner. Every day I'm reminded of that. I wake up, I have the wrong attitude. I'm not grateful for all God has given me. I don't always worship God as I should. I don't always treat other people like I should. Those who are close to me and my family, those who are friends, and even those who are just in the world. I don't treat other image bearers of God the way I should be. I'm reminded I'm a sinner every day. I think you guys get that same reminder every day. I'm also reminded that everyone around me is a sinner too. Have you guys been reminded of that also? If you haven't, go to the DMV and wait for something. I had to go get a transfer of plates this week. Wow. Number one, I had a two-hour wait. I didn't look at the slip when I got my little F1,562 billion. When I looked at it, and then it said an hour and 47-minute wait. So you say, you know what? I said, I'm a patient man. I'm a pastor. I can make it through this. Hour goes by. I have my little spot. About an hour and 45 minutes, I started getting the itch. And if you don't know me that well, if you do know me well, you know I'm a pacer. So I pace. Out of the womb, I just started walking back and forth. I don't know what happened. So I'm waiting 2 hours. And I'm saying, I hope I get a nice person. Because I started feeling the itch. And I'm usually really patient. I don't get irritated with people easy. It takes a lot for me. I said, I had about 15 minutes left. I said, I hope I get a nice person. And they called my number, said, count a nine. I looked over the guy and said, I could tell right away, this ain't a nice guy, right? I walk up, I give him my thing. I had gone to an insurance person the day before, got everything filled out perfect. Joe Veck filled out the title. I had to tell him 3 weeks ago so it would be finished. A normal man, it would take maybe 20 minutes. But he had 8 copies, he filled out half of it on one day, a quarter of it, wrote with pen, he said, Joe, this has to be perfect. So I had everything laid out. I go up this desk, I give the guy his stuff, I'm expecting, wow, you're prepared, man. This is good, take your place, go live life, live free. Stu looks at me and goes, what's the weight of your truck? With an attitude. And I said, oh, here we go. He's going to send me back into the line. And everyone knows when you wait 2 hours, the last thing you want is going to be sent back in the line. And I said, I don't know. What is the weight? He goes, you know this one. Don't look at me. Why should I know the weight? It's your car. I said, Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. I was ready for my head to blow out of the DMV. And I said, listen, I know you're a sinner. No, I didn't say that. I said, listen, at least they have that little slip where you don't have to wait. You go up and give it again. But this guy treated me so bad. I waited for 2 hours. I tried to get in. I was reminded of that. We're all sinners. We all treat each other wrongly. So you wake up with that reminder. You're a sinner. Everyone's around you sins against you. Whether it's at the DMV or other more serious sins. You're also reminded that grace is serious. Because you're a sinner, you're reminded that God has been so gracious towards you. I look back at my life, and I see what God has brought me in my life. And the ways it transformed me, even internally, the struggles, the emotional struggles, the questions, the confusion, and how the gospel and the Holy Spirit has changed all that thing, those things in my life. And I say, He's amazing. His grace is serious. I look at the good things He's given me in my life, a loving wife and beautiful children and a wonderful church and a good job and, you know, just breath today. And I say, God's grace is serious to me. And I look around at you guys and I say, God's grace is serious towards each one of you. God's been seriously gracious to all of you. He's even gracious to the unjust, those who don't worship Him as God. They get to enjoy the common grace of God. I look around and I see people enjoying their families, enjoying life, enjoying love. And I say, God's even gracious to those who don't worship Him as God. His grace is serious. So as we get into and we see Jesus going to the cross, carrying His cross today, I want you to leave here with the gospel. Because what the gospel is sin is serious and we've committed it. And grace is serious and God has given it. So as we go through those, let's meditate on that, because in a very simple way, that is the gospel. We come here to worship God today knowing we're sinners, but God's grace is so serious that we can worship Him as righteous children of God. Amen? Let's turn to John 19. We're just going to go verses 16 through 22 today. It says, so they took Jesus and He went out bearing His own cross. So everyone knows what happened last week. We talked about the beating of Jesus as they prepared Him for His crucifixion. We talked about Him being flogged and whipped, how there would be two men on either side using those whips with bone and lead on them. They would be tearing His flesh out. It would not only be His back, but it would be His shoulders and it would be His legs. And they would beat Him repeatedly. They would take that crown and they would crown of thorns and they would put that into His head and they would drive it with their fists into His head so His face was bleeding. At this point, Jesus was tremendously beaten, and He was tremendously fatigued. And now the soldiers take Him and they want Him to carry His own cross. So being the tradesman I am, during sermon prep, I realized they call it the patibulum. So a cross in those days was made out of something that was thick. The vertical piece was about 6 to 7 feet high. It's called the stipes. And the patibulum, the horizontal piece, would go across. So there's some argument to whether Jesus carried the whole cross would be the vertical and the horizontal piece. If He did carry the whole cross, that would be about 300 pounds that He would have to carry to the cross. Many believe that He just carried the horizontal piece on His back. That would be about 100 to 125 pounds. I read some stuff when a scientist was just studying some of this stuff. And if they, you know, when you're on a safari back in the day, you'd have the people who would just carry stuff in the safari. They would call it the porter. Back in those days, those big, strong men, they could carry about 200 pounds for 3 miles without getting a rest, which is pretty impressive. In Jesus' day, a brawny carpenter, Jesus was a tradesman. He worked with his hand. He did a physical job. A carpenter in that day could carry about 200 pounds, 150 feet before he needed a rest. So that was basically what was expected of a carpenter that day. That's how strong he would be. So imagine Jesus in that day, already beaten, torn apart, backs like ribbons, legs torn apart, broken. We know the emotional turmoil He's going through. So you guys know sometimes emotional turmoil can take more out of you than the physical turmoil you go through. And now they put this cross on His back. Now because I'm a tradesman, that's roughly the size of a patibulum right there. So I'm doing sermon prep. I'm out there at 9:30 at night with a sawzall one-handed, cutting the thing to 6 feet with my hand shaking. Now, that's only 50 pounds. This is for the men after and any women. If you want to carry that as a woman, please do. But any man or woman, who wants to try just putting that on their back and on their shoulders, they'll give you a good feel, but it would have been 75 pounds heavier. Even at 50 pounds, that thing's a beast. And if you really want to know, have someone beat you up and then try to carry that thing. Roughly a half a mile or so. So once again, there's some debate on how long Jesus had to carry the cross to Golgotha, or the place of the skull. Some people believe it was roughly like 0.3 miles. Some believe it was 0.6 miles. It could be less. It could be more. It was right outside the city gate of Jerusalem. And it was called the place of the skull because the hill looked like a skull. And they would crucify people there. And so I'm reading all the comments because people have different viewpoints on how long Jesus carried the cross. And then you saw this woman just chime in. And she's just upset in all the right ways. And she said, I don't care if he had to carry it 5 feet. If my loving Savior had to carry that cross 5 feet, it was too long. And that's the heart I want us to have. It's so true. You see God's love. If he had to carry that thing 5 feet because of our sin, that's too much. Let's turn to verse. Let's just move on to verse 18. There they cried, crucify him. There they crucified him. And with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Now John, as a writer, doesn't get so detailed about the crucifixion. He just says they crucified him. People in that day would have known that was the worst way to die. Historians said it was the most disgusting way to die. So I just want to give you a little context, because I'm still learning more and more about crucifixion, and I've been hearing about Jesus since Sunday school. First of all, crucifixion was invented about 400 BC by the Persians. And when Alexander the Great went out conquering places, he took the so-called art of crucifixion back to Egypt and Carthage with him, and it was introduced to the Romans. They would master the art of crucifixion. It was such a disgusting, shameful way to die that Romans weren't even allowed to be crucified, except in rare cases. It was used for the most heinous criminals and the most heinous crimes to deter people from doing those crimes that the criminals committed. They wanted to make them an absolute spectacle so people would not commit those crimes. It was in public. They didn't have the loin like they show. They were absolutely naked on that cross. It was the most shameful way to die. You were absolutely naked and put on that cross for all people who passed by to see. They would spit on you. They would mock on you. If you had to go to the bathroom, you would go to the bathroom on yourself. It was meant to be long and excruciating. They wanted to take their time and torture these people, both to be a spectacle and to torture the people for their crime. Some of the common ways these people would die were they'd have a heart attack, just heart failure, or sepsis. Their intestines would give up, and it would pollute their whole system. Some of them would just dehydrate and die. Others would be eaten by wild animals because they were up there for a few days. Some people would die roughly, would die quick, and some people would be up there a few days and they'd leave them overnight and wild animals would just eat them. There were many cases where soldiers would even impale them through their private parts. This is serious, disgusting, humiliating, shameful way to die. And by the time they got to the cross, they looked almost like a raw piece of meat. So Jesus was already shredded. And they would take those nails and they would run them through the carpal bones to hang them, because you couldn't put them through their palms because they would rip. So they had to put them through the carpal bones and drive them through their feet as they mounted these criminals to the cross. The Son of God died this way. Please feel the weight of that. Lethal injection, the electric chair, some common things of the day do not compare to the way Jesus died. There's some dignity in lethal injection. Even the electric chair is not as serious and humiliating and disgusting as dying on the cross for the world to see. What does that tell you? Sin is serious. But at the same time, it tells you that sin is serious because God was being punished for our sin. That should have been you and me dying in that humiliating way or being punished in that humiliating way. That's the gospel. It tells you sin is serious, that Jesus had to die to make things right so all who believed in Him could be saved and have eternal life. It also shouts out something unbelievable, that grace is serious. That fully God, fully man, the second person of the Trinity, came down to earth, entered the world as a baby, lived a perfect life, and died this humiliating death so that we could receive undeserved grace and sit here today as children of God. Is that wonderful? Is that beautiful? Is that awesome? That's the gospel. He was crucified in between two criminals. As a criminal. Jesus was crucified as a criminal. Through His whole life, Jesus hung out with sinners. The truth is, if you eat with your family and your friends, you're always eating with sinners. You know what I mean? You're always eating with sinners if you're eating with a human being. But the people who culture defined as sinners, the outcasts, the people they called immoral or violent or robbers or thieves, the criminals, Jesus hung out with them. They called Jesus a drunkard. They said He's a wine bibber. He's a sinner because He'd be in the bars. He'd be with the criminal. He'd be with the tax collectors who were the ultimate thieves. And He'd hang out with them and He'd die with the criminals. The religious people hated that. They want to be separated from society. They want to hang out with the so-called holy people who had it all together. None of us have together. You know that. Don't waste your life trying to hide that. Jesus was with the worst of the worst, the criminals, the outcasts of society, and He died with the criminals. That should teach us something as Christians. I make sure, number one, I have to hang out with myself every day. So I'm hanging with a sinner. I don't want anyone outside the church who might be living in habitual sin to feel like they're outcasts in my eyes, or they're not good enough to hang around me, or for me to love them. Because God loved me as a sinner, and that's what brought me to God. We should be with people who society calls sinners. We should be hanging around with the drunks, with the robbers, with the immoral. Because we once were like that. And we still are sinners every day of our life. Please hear me. This is the culture we're cultivating at Restoration Road. We will not be the plastic surgeons who only want people to fill the seats who supposedly have it all together, might need an eye lift. This is an emergency room where sinners need to come and hear the gospel. Jesus was with sinners and died with sinners and was labeled as a criminal. Let's read on. He was made a spectacle. And I just want to get back to this before I go on to the next point. Because the Pharisees did not want people thinking that they could get away with what they thought Jesus was getting away with. They thought He was blaspheming God and He was overriding their authority as the religious leaders. They wanted everyone to see Jesus was a blasphemer. And if you blaspheme God and if you challenge their authority as religious leaders, you will be murdered like Jesus. Now, we don't see public displays when people are punished for sin in our culture anymore. But in other countries, that happened. I saw this crazy video on YouTube. It was crazy. This guy had committed adultery with his nanny in India. Okay? He committed adultery. They found out he committed adultery. Not only was the wife, his wife's family out there, everyone had their shoes off. Alright? Everyone's shoes were off. His side of the family there, his mom, his dad, his sister, brother, with their shoes off. And they just started beating him in public because he committed adultery. And they're beating the nanny too. And they're on this balcony, and I'm talking aunts, uncles, brothers, and sisters. It was a family event. Had their shoes off, were just beating these people because they committed adultery. What they were trying to do was make these make it a spectacle, a public event, so it would deter anyone from wanting to commit adultery. I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to commit adultery in India after seeing this YouTube video. You know, last thing I need is Joe Vec over me with a sneaker popping me, you know what I mean? I think BT will come after me too. You know? That's what they tried to do with people at crucifixion. Now let's get back to how serious this all is. So they put a notice on top of these criminals' cross to label the sin they had done so no one else would commit that crime. So let's read verses 19 through 22. Pilate also wrote on an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." So remember, Pilate found no guilt in Jesus. He said, "There's no guilt in this man. He's no threat to Caesar. You guys are trying to get him killed. He's not a criminal." So what happened is Pilate is using his power and saying, "No way am I changing what that notice says about Jesus." Because they didn't like that it said Jesus, King of the Jews, because it was claiming the eternal truth that Jesus is the King of all creation. So even on the cross, the sovereignty of God bothered the religious leaders. And they said, "Don't you label that cross that way. Don't you dare do that." And Pilate said, "No. What is written is written." And it bothered them even more because it's in Latin, Aramaic, and Greek. Therefore, everyone who is passing by in a very beautiful way could see the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is the kingdom of God. A murdered, homeless, rejected Savior mounted to the cross for the sins of the world. Sin is serious, and grace is serious. So I want to start with this in some of the application part. I want to start with the fact that I want you guys to understand that sin is serious, because as a pastor, I care about you guys and I love you guys. So I need you to understand that sin is serious. Because that's been one of the most transforming things in my own life. That I've seen sin that was serious in my life, and I repented of it with a godly repentance, and the Holy Spirit changed my heart. What happens is we rank sin, right? We say, "Well, I'm not a murderer. I might have stolen something from Walmart, but I'm not a murderer, so it's not really that bad of a sin." So once again, I was in the insurance, and we do this all the time in our culture. I was in the insurance place, and we had the bill of sale for the car and what I paid for it, and the lady said to me, just trying to be nice in a Boston kind of way, "No, write that it's a gift. Don't write that you paid for it. You'll have to pay sales tax. Write that it's a gift." I said, "Hold on here. That's still sin. Jesus would have still had to die, go to the cross, if I lied on my bill of sale. Do you guys know that? Adam and Eve took it too lightly. It's just an apple. What's the big deal? I'm just eating the fruit. I'm just disobeying God. They took it too lightly. Now there's more murder, war, death, sickness, illness throughout all the world. We take sin too lightly. We think it's okay to lie on a bill of sale. We think it's okay to cheat on our taxes. We think it's okay to not pay for something because those are light sins. We think it's okay to talk about someone. Because those are considered light sins in our mind. A Christian should never go to sin and want to rank it. He should see sin and want to stay way far away from it. When we start ranking sin, we've lost the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is not a license to sin. The power of the gospel is to change us so we don't have to live lives of sin. And when we start ranking sin, we're taking sin too lightly. And before you know it, sin has got a stronghold on us and has changed our behavior, and we're not living holy before God. And so I want to talk about three areas in our culture that I see us take sin too lightly. And I want to make sure I get this, so I got to hit my notes on it. I don't want to miss this. Like I said, I think we're dishonest with our money as Christians. No Christian should be cheating on his taxes. No Christian should be lying on a bill of sale. No Christian should be doing anything dishonest with their money. We are representatives of Jesus Christ here on this earth. If the Christians aren't paying their taxes, who is? Secondly, we take lust way too lightly. Way too lightly. We look at things we shouldn't look at. We watch things we shouldn't watch. We let our imagination go crazy in lustful ways. And we say, everyone's made like that. Everyone has... No, the Holy Spirit can change you and sanctify your mind, sanctify your behavior, sanctify your eyes, and you can live holy in that area. Don't let the enemy say that's just a light sin and you don't have to change in that area. You can be made holy in that area and glorify God with your mind, with your eyes, with your life, with behavior, and be a light in this world. Don't take that sin lightly. And finally, gossip. We take gossip way too lightly. When we speak words against image bearers of God, we say everyone's doing it, it's not a big deal. Guard your words of your mouth. First of all, anything you speak in judgment on someone else is coming back to you. I'm speaking as a pastor that cares about you. Anytime you judge someone, speak against them, it comes right back at you. Do unto others. Guard your tongue. Guard your mind. When you want to gossip, pray for somebody. Don't take that sin lightly. Because sin is so serious that if you gossiped, if you looked at something you shouldn't look at in a lustful way, and if you lied on your bill of sale, Jesus would have still had gone to the cross. Now that you feel the weight of that, I want you to hear that grace is serious. See how I switched that up on you? Yes, sin is serious, and yes, we are sinners, and yes, as I even spoke of some of those things, someone in your own mind was saying, man, I've got to repent. But then grace comes in. Then the Holy Spirit comes in. Then the work is finished. And He's sanctifying you day by day, and you are changed. And that's what the gospel is. You are so valuable to God that He went to the cross and died for you because grace is serious. And you are forgiven of every sin I just spoke of because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. I was reading through this book called The Big Story, and this pastor was on a plane. He was next to a woman, and she got about 3 or 4 beers in, and she started opening up a little bit. And she started talking about her 14-year-old son who was depressed, and he needed to see a counselor. And what he kept hearing in his mind, what happened, it was rough on him. His parents got divorced. He was in trouble dealing with that. When you're going through puberty, it's tough dealing with that. When you're in high school, it's tough dealing with that. He kept hearing this lion, almost like whisper in his mind, saying, you're worthless. You're worthless. He said, Mom, I can't stop hearing this. I just keep hearing this in my mind, I'm worthless. The cross tells us that we are not worthless. Cross tells you that God loves you so passionately that He was willing to be brutally murdered on a cross so that you might have life. You might hear this whisper in your mind. He loves you. You're valuable. He died for you so that He could be in relationship with you and you guys could never be separated. Hear that whisper in your mind from the cross. That grace is serious. In closing, we just heard the gospel. The gospel is that we're great sinners and that Jesus is a great God. And because of His grace, He died for us so that we might be made right before God. We might have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have a Father that watches over us and loves us. That we will have eternal life. That He has good things in store for all those who are loved by Him and who love Him. So hear that today. Yes, we know our sin is serious, but God's grace is serious, and He loves us deeply. Amen.